The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
I'm Corey from Ohio, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 303 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today podcast, and with me on the show, as always, is my best friend, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, best friend.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
How are you? You sound so jaunty now without your gallbladder. Yeah. What's holding you back?
I don't know. I'm getting itchy in many ways. But you know, Michelle, today, when we're recording this on Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're recording this on Wednesday.
I don't know.
We recorded
I'm still
this
on summer vacation. Don't expect me to know what day
we recorded this last night, and I'm getting signals from my body that it's time to run.
Woo-hoo!
So this weekend, I think I'm going to, you know, dust off the cobwebs. They've been in the shoes for about a month because of all this stuff, and I got to get going. We got a lot of training to do.
Well, I've just been lazy and having family emergencies, so, and vacationing. So I will join you.
Thank you. How about that? Thank you.
What are we doing, 17?
17, 25, I don't know.
Minutes or miles?
Let's do 28 in honor of Joe Kolinsky.
Oh, yeah. So we're following the progress of our buddy Joe, and hope he's doing well. Have you looked today?
No, I just hope and pray he's still alive.
No, my goodness.
No, he's. I'm sure Joe is a smart guy, so he knows what he has to do. Joe, if you get a chance to listen to us while you're running, please hydrate. I mean, I know how tough it is out there in Southern California. Take it easy, you know. You're a smart guy, so good luck. We're looking forward to seeing you in Disneyland.
Yes. Well, are we going to see him? Are you going to Disneyland?
You never know.
No.
No, I can't.
So I wanted to mention one thing non-Run Disney related that was kind of cool, because I think this is actually going to be touring around the country, which is I went to my old stomping ground, the Boston Museum of Science, today with my guy Liam, with my son Liam, and there's a Science of Pixar exhibit there, and I'm telling you, if science and Disney come together, Michelle is one happy girl. So very, very cool. So if it heads to your neck of the woods, I'm sure it's going to be a traveling exhibit. Go see it, because it talks about science, math, computer science. You really get the whole sense of what it's like to put together a Pixar movie. Well, some sense, but you get to actually try to mess around with the lighting. And really cool. Really cool.
There's a lot of technology that goes into the digitizing of a film. So it's a very educational exhibit, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was great. So here's the shout out. We talked last episode about the Small World Challenge, and we're not going to revisit that, but I did. It was pointed out to me that I think I didn't give enough kudos to those wonderful people who did Disneyland, and they a lot of them rode all the way till midnight, so it's pretty amazing. So I want to give a shout out to all those people who did the Disneyland Challenge. Jennifer, Celeste.
And of course, Jennifer showed up with cookies.
And let me see if I can remember who all the... I know Marcy was there. I'm going to forget somebody and everybody's going to be upset with me. But let's see if I can quickly look on my computer here. My computer's saying no. Oh, well. Jennifer, Celeste, Marcy, and I will see if I can figure out who the other people are when my computer starts to behave. So, So, anyway, they were great. And, again, we raised a whole bunch of money. So, it's good.
Yep. Looking forward to next year.
Yeah. And also, I want to give a shout-out to Dara Kaiser-Ross, who said, your podcast keeps getting better and better. Thank you. It's nice to be thanked. Thank you, Dara.
Well, we're getting That's into nice. Race season, so we yeah. hope to have some very interesting shows with some very interesting guests as all of us prepare for the fall races coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that reminds me. I love to say this, but I need to email Sean Astin this week and see when we're going to set up a time, because he said August, so here we go.
Well, August is almost over.
Yeah. So what are we doing today, Mike?
You know, it's been like 4 or 5 years since we've done questions, so mm-hmm. I thought that maybe today we can go into the mailbag and do some questions and read some emails. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, but we're going to do whatever we can in the next 20 or 30 minutes. And Michelle, would you do us
sure.
the honor by reading the first one?
So, and I want to say we love those questions. Keep them coming. Questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. I look at most of them. Our wonderful questions guy, Alex, helps me to put them together, and he's great. And our show notes guy logs them for us. But I try to acknowledge people when they send questions. I can't always get to it. So we will get to your question, even if you don't get an email back from me. The first one is from Kelly Lexich, and she says, hi, Michelle and Mike. I wanted to start off by saying how thankful I am for finding a podcast that combines my two great loves, running and Disney. I live about 45 minutes from Disney World, and I really appreciate your discussion and maps of running resorts. She's talking about on NickiMilesPodcast.com. That's right. We have awesome maps, and that's where I can be found most Saturday mornings. Wow, so she drives over to run Disney. I guess I would probably do that too. I have really enjoyed exploring all of the resorts during my runs and have found many, many hidden gems along the way. Thank you. My question is about training. I ran Goofy in 2013 and completed the inaugural Dopey Challenge in 2014. Since then, my running has been put on hold as my husband and I welcomed our first child in April 2015. Congratulations! I'm back to running 3 to 4 times per week, with my longest run so far being a 10K. I would love to return to Run Disney, but with our new addition, our finances are a little tight, so I'm holding off. I did sign up for the Gasparilla Ultra Challenge in Tampa this February, which consists of a 15K and a 5K on Saturday, followed by a half marathon and an 8K on Sunday. When I ran Goofy and Dopey, I made sure to incorporate plenty of back-to-back runs in my training. I plan on doing that again, but I also wonder, should I add 2-a-day runs to prepare for running 2 races each day? Would you run morning and night, or plan a long run, take a break in the middle? I haven't been able to find any training plans for this specific event online, so any advice you offer would be appreciated. And I certainly have some ideas about this, Mike, but I'm going to turn it over to you.
Kelly, you have run Goofy and you have run Dopey, so you know what those back-to-back race days do for you. I think that, and again, I need to preface this by saying I am not a trainer. I am not a professional running coach.
Do you play one on TV?
I don't play one on TV. I have, believe it or not, 50 years of running experience. So I have seen a lot of things and I've learned a lot of things, but you learn something new every day. I think what I would be afraid of you doing is injuring yourself. I think that one of the problems we all face when we are training for anything like the Gasparilla Ultra Challenge, and I've heard about it, and that's a crazy
isn't it,
time.
Isn't it like the pirate weekend in Tampa, and the
yeah,
whole, there's a, the
and,
whole city
and,
gets
and
involved?
You run along the shore. It's really beautiful.
Oh, boy, I'd like to do that.
The thing, Kelly, is that a lot of us, and those of you who are out there listening, I wonder how many of you are going to be nodding your head. During our training, sometimes, especially early on in our running career, we tend to overtrain. We tend to say, I want to get a little bit faster. I want to do a little bit more before my big race. And we tend to injure ourselves. I would be afraid of you getting into overuse. So I would be very cautious. I think that if you are running every other day, I think you'll be fine. I don't know if running twice a day is detrimental to your muscles. I don't know if it would hurt you. You do need to recover. You do need to specifically give your body a chance to rehydrate. I think that you really would be pushing the envelope quite a bit if you ran twice a day. It's my opinion. I just don't want you to overtrain and be subject yourself to overuse and injuring yourself. Michelle?
So I agree with everything you said, but I have kind of a different spin on it, I think. So one of the things that I learned when I trained for Goofy, working with Jeff Galloway, whether you're working with the preset plans that he has on Run Disney or you're working with him one-on-one, as I did and so many of our friends have done, is the importance of taking the time to look at your training plan and really map it out. You know, starting with the day of the event is day zero and mapping it out and doing the training backwards. So going back, starting, you know, however far you need to train for a half marathon. The longest distance in that is a half marathon. So the distance, because you've done Goofy, is not going to be a big deal. You already have a 10K and, you know, I'm sure you can easily go up to a half marathon. I would say, and I'm learning this from Goofy, that there would be probably 2 days in the previous 5 weeks or a month that I would simulate what you're going to do at least 80% of the way. So I think what I would do if I were doing this, and I want to say that she wrote the pronunciation of her name, which is Luchik. So Kelly Luchik. What I would do is the first day you set is a 15K and 5K. I don't think I would do a double training that day. I would do the 15K one day, or you know, maybe a 2/3 of that, and then I would on the next day do maybe 10 miles and then maybe take a break and do another 5K, because the next race you talked about is an 8K. But I think the important thing is that you back up, you look at your calendar, and you stick to all your training runs. And I would say do that double thing once, take about a 2-week break, do it again, and then maybe 2 weeks before the actual date. But Mike, you and I trained years ago for that wonderful marathon relay, which we really liked. And I think that we did back-to-back runs probably more than Jeff Galloway would recommend. But I think the thing that you're working on is the tired legs, the ability to run the day before and then get out and do it again. So I would actually simulate it. Now, the time in between the runs, I don't know what the time in between the runs that you're actually doing, so I would try to get it as close to that. So, you know, get your protein in, hydrate, and then go out and do the second half of that run. Again, you're somebody who's done the dopey. I don't worry about you knowing how to do this, but I would actually take a calendar out and plan it out. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, again, I'm always concerned about recovery. I'm concerned about, and you know, Kelly, you have just been blessed with a child. Your body may have changed a little bit. It may be a little bit different for you running than it was prior to, you know, you becoming a mom. So that's another thing. And you have to gauge what your body needs as far as recovery and nutrition and hydration during your run. So please be careful and let us know how things go.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some of the special things you see on your runs around the resorts, too. All right, ready for the next one?
Next one comes from Kim Dillon, who says, "Hi there. I know in years past, there's been an option to pay about $12.95 or so extra per person as a viewing fee to enter Epcot for events like Illuminations Fireworks Dessert Party that you have planned for the Mickey Milers. I just wanted to see if that was an option for your upcoming party over Wine and Dine weekend. Thanks a bunch, Kim." Kim, I've never heard that.
well, I have an answer to that.
And I've been doing dessert parties for a long time. Michelle?
Yeah, so actually, Alex put this on there because I think this is on our general page. So we have a Wine and Dine dessert party, and it's the Sunday after Wine and Dine. Is it November 8th, Mike?
I believe that's correct.
November 8th. So and we'll add the link. We try to get it out every once in a while. We have about 40 people coming so far. And so Kim doesn't want to see the park, but she wants to go in for the dessert party. And so people can actually do that. I contacted Becky Mankin, and we just need to know about it ahead of time. So if you're somebody who thinks that you want to, you don't want to pay the extra fee, we do need to know about it. And you can just email me at michelle@mickeymilespodcast.com. And we just need a count, and I will arrange it. So, Kim, you'll be hearing from me soon. So, Mike, you learned something
I just
today.
Learned something. I was never involved in this, so I didn't have anything to do with this. But I'm glad you were here, because I learned something new.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad Kim asked the question, too.
I know my friend in work who would be interested to know that.
All right. So the next one is from somebody named Michelle McNally. And she says, good morning, Michelle and Mike. Or Mike and Michelle, depending on who reads it. I was just finishing episode 295, and I was listening to Holly's questions about the Princess in February. I did my first Run Disney event at the Princess this year, and the one thing I learned was, no matter what time you go, make sure you allow yourself plenty of time to enjoy the expo, especially your first one. We were planning on meeting my family at Epcot after we went to the expo, and it was so very rushed and annoying, knowing that they were tapping their feet waiting for us. When we went to Tinkerbell in May, the expo was the only thing I had planned for the day, so I had all the time in the world, and it was much more enjoyable. The only annoying thing was my mom questioning if I really needed to spend money on this running gadget or that running contraption, but that's a whole other story. Thanks, Michelle McNally. What do you think, Mike?
I think the key... I think the key phrase in Michelle's letter is, especially your first one. Mm-hmm. If you're the very first Run Disney event that you go to, I think you really have to think long and hard about whether or not you want to bring your family. And if you do, when they should come, because if they're not into the running, if they're not doing any races, there's going to be some stress. And like Michelle said, you know, she's at the expo and she's wondering if they're waiting for her. If it's your very first Run Disney event, you want to enjoy everything. You want to take things nice and slow. You want to drink it all in. You want to enjoy the entire weekend. So think about it and really allocate time to spend at the expo. If it's your first time, you get to meet Rudy, you get to meet Carissa, who knows who else, you get to meet Jeff. You get to do a lot of things. You get to see things that you probably would never see regarding running paraphernalia. So I think it's good advice to say plan accordingly with your family
and
let them know.
And we have talked about this idea of maybe having your family come after the race too. And this is one of the reasons. I will say, Michelle, that as a veteran of many, 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 many expos, and somebody who has bought way too many things, you go through it faster, as you might expect. And for us, it's kind of a social hour type of thing now. But you know, you go by the different booths, and you say, "Oh, I have that," or you know, "I don't need that." But it's good to browse. It's good to browse. So I think it's really good advice for first timers.
Next question comes from Rick Green, who says, "Hey, Michelle and Mike, I just recently finished listening to episode 297 about staying on property for Run Disney events and enjoyed it very much. Although I live in Southern California and run the Disneyland races, I travel to WDW at least once a year to run. What can I say? I love the coast-to-coast medal. There's one feature to the monorail resorts that I picked up on when I had the good fortune to stay at the Polynesian for Marathon Weekend in 2014. There are no stairs between the start-finish line and the hotel room.
Uh-huh.
After running a 4.5-hour marathon, the last thing in the world I'm able to do is lift my feet off the ground to climb those four giant stairs into the chartered motor coach back to the hotel. If you stay at a monorail resort, there are no stairs.
What a great point.
There are no stairs leading up to the platforms at either monorail station. There are just a series of switchback ramps at Epcot and one long ramp at the TTC to the platform. I'm not sure about stairs at the monorail platforms at the resorts. I stayed at the Polynesian and walked to and from the TTC. From the Polynesian, it was a short walk to and a short stagger back from the TTC monorail station. I did not use the resort monorail. The downside to taking the monorail back to the room from the race is that, unlike the motor coach, The monorail is open to the public. It took some of my fellow monorail passengers a few minutes to figure out why I smelled as badly as I did. Also, one more thing of note, I stayed in a club-level room at the Polynesian, and the overnight shift left bagels, bananas, and Band-Aids on a table by the elevators. They also made a sign wishing us luck for the race. Although my race morning ritual does not involve bagels or bananas, Pop-Tarts and Gatorade, I did appreciate the Band-Aids. I hope to run into you the next time I head to Florida for a race, or you two come to California and run Disneyland. And that's Rick Green.
I think that's great advice. I mean, you are going to pay a premium staying at those resorts. Mike, do you happen to know off the top of your head for the race weekend, is it considered a, I forget the different levels, but is it, it's a...
The club level?
No, I mean, not the club level, but for race weekends, you know, in August, it's the value season. What season is it?
Oh, it's race season.
Yeah.
excuse me. It's, I think that they...
Do they charge more for those?
You know, that's a good question. I think that it's probably... It's probably not important. I think if it's a... In January, it's different from all the other race weekends because, for instance, Wine and Dine, it's a holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
For Disneyland Half Marathon, it's a holiday weekend. So I don't think it's that different. The only difference is that the Friday and Saturday mm-hmm. night room charges will be higher than the Thursday night.
Right,
and stuff
right.
Like
but
that.
I think that's great advice. I mean, you are going to pay for it, but I had the pleasure for my last vacation, part of it staying with my brother and his family at. For the first time at the Contemporary, and oh wow, it is convenient. It is really convenient to have that monorail there and to be able to, you know, just jump on and go to Epcot.
But here's the thing: when you go to Epcot, you probably are walking, oh, from the monorail to the gathering area, Michelle. You're probably walking 3/4 of a mile.
More.
And then you have to walk 1.25 miles to the corrals.
But Mike, you're walking so far from if you drive your car too. You have to even if you get on the bus, it's a really long walk.
Yeah,
it's just a long walk.
Yeah, you know, either way. I mean, there are pros and cons to doing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like kinds. It's majorly shorter driving your car, or we're getting off into a different thing. But I think if you don't want to take stairs, I think that's the way to do it. So. Do we have time for another question?
All right, we have time for one more question, Michelle.
All right, so our buddies John and Alyssa Kivas, who've been on the show before, wrote in, and I have to tease John because he wrote, "Dear Mike and Michael."
Hmm.
He said autocorrect, made him do it. "We are answering your call for feedback from the pros and cons of Walt Disney World Resorts from Races episode. Alyssa and I actually did stay at the Wilderness Lodge for the Princess Weekend last year and have booked it again for this year. For us, we really like being just a boat ride away from the Magic Kingdom, but not having to pay the prices of the monorail resorts. This is a perfect email to get right after Rick's. The resort itself is quiet and relaxing, but then we can easily hop over to the Magic Kingdom when we want to. For Wine and Dine, which at the time of this writing was 94 days away, we are staying at Beach Club. This was partially because MEI had such a great group rate, but mostly because we wanted to be able to easily go to the Mickey Miles dessert party on Sunday night. See you in a couple of months." So we didn't mention it, but the previous email from Rick, he's a lawyer, and Alyssa and John are lawyers. So this is the lawyer-heavy section of the show. But Wilderness Lodge, I'm glad they wrote in because I never thought of staying there for a race. And it is a really beautiful, quiet resort. Would you ever do it, Mike?
I don't think so.
No?
Because, excuse me, one of the problems I have with the Wilderness Lodge is that, let me retract that, Michelle. Maybe I would if I were to use the buses. But if I was to drive to the race, no, because it takes forever to get from the parking lot to your room and vice versa. So because of that, I don't think I would use it. I do like value and moderate resorts to run races other than the January races. January races, I do like Beach Club, because you're right there and, you know, the race is over even though we drive. But Wilderness Lodge, I agree that it's a great value. And for some people, it would work. It just doesn't work for me.
I would do it. Yeah. I would do it. And I would see Alyssa and John if I were. But I don't know where I'm staying in January. I'm staying at Beach Club in January. That's because that's my DVC. All right. Are we ready to seal up the mailbag for the next time?
We'll seal it up for the next time. And we want.
On the horizon is a letter from John Thompson. We'll have to wait for that.
And again, we're getting into race season, so I'm sure there are a lot of questions, especially from those of you who are preparing for your first Run Disney event. Excuse me. Please feel free to send those questions in, and we also want to talk. We want to let you guys know that we're going to be preparing some episodes. We need to talk about what's coming up over the next couple of months and what we're going to be doing for Wine and Dine again with the dessert party, and of course, what's going to be happening in January. So we're putting those shows together, and we hope to have a lot of information and a lot of interesting shows this coming fall. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.